Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check this out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, C-Man.
What up, dog? This is Keisha.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice Warp.
It's your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
Now, real niggas do real things, and I hang with the real. So if you fuck with my family, you fuck with me. Hey, UGS for life.
For all them fuck boys disrespecting the team. Flipping snippets from the show, and they saluting the name. The underground society, real talk on the scene. Y'all gon' fuck around, be left white chalked on the scene. It's UGS for life, for you busters that don't know. I'm down with Praise and Mac J, the Murder Master Music Show. Archives of legends with questions you wanna know. That's why them whole shows be slick listening on the low. Using episodes for they shows with no recognition. More than suspicion. And you can hear Prayer's voice if you listen. Disrespect, I'm ripping. Bitch, I'm flipping. Kill their credentials whenever their name get mentioned. From Pittsburgh, Patrick, they gon' teach them some manners. Grab the ball bat and show up at they door in bandanas. For screaming real hip-hop and supporting them swag. Show up at their club for breakfast, y'all are back. Take aim at the lane, put his career in the casket. I come to kill a Mac J, make them pay for their actions. They can't pay them, smashing in an orderly fashion. With no permission, I'm asking them.
Mash it and attack it.
Turning taxing for every question that's got me asking. You can steal from the real, but yet you still can't outlast them. UGS for life, that's steel to plastic. Got that iron in my blood, burn your soul like acid.
You know? You better ask, nigga. UGS for life. Where the real at? Punk ass niggas. www.ugsforlife.com. Where the real is at?
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is episode 389. Of the Murder Master Music Show, only at UGSForLife.com. Tonight we got a special guest in the building, man. So, return visitor. He's been on a couple times before. He's actually on episode 302 with a lot of different people. The homie Raheem, the Furious Five. This is going back to, the groundbreaking days of hip hop. I'm talking 30 plus years. The man's been doing this, and we're going to chop it up with him in a second. Let's bring on the homie Pittsburgh Patrick. I see him on the line. Pittsburgh, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. How you doing, brother?
Pretty good, man. You've sort of come on board and been a co-host with myself and Mac J. The first time you was on this show was episode 300. You called in. We didn't know who the fuck you were. Nobody knew who Pittsburgh Patrick was. Since then, you've been on shows with numerous guests and legends, but one of the guys that was on that show with you is our guest tonight. I'm going to bring him on right now, Raheem of the Furious Five. Raheem, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. Yourself?
Man, real good. Honor to have you back on the show. I know you're a very busy man. I really appreciate you taking time to do this because it's important that we continue to showcase cats like yourself who made it possible for us to even be doing what the fuck we're doing. So I want to salute you, man, for all the stuff you've done for hip-hop over the years, man. Real talk. One of the forefathers of this shit.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate you.
No doubt, Raheem. For the people, that don't know, and from your perspective, from what you've seen and what you lived, where did hip-hop really truly begin, and what year was it?
Well, a lot of people, the majority of the hip hop community, who knows the history, who actually lived it, the majority of the hip hop community at large recognizes 1973 as the birth of the hip hop culture. And I'm those people as well, but although it was the birth of the hip hop culture to a degree, it didn't really become the hip-hop culture that we know of today until maybe 1977, 78. You know, I would say 78 more, because by 78, then the MC groups began to, you know, be present. And prior to 1978, you know, if there were any MC groups, they were not notable. They were what we would call toys, and the people who, you know, the practitioners of hip hop, who are the innovators or the pioneers of hip hop, a lot of the pioneers and innovators of hip hop, more recently, have been counting their toy time. But I'm not one of those people. I don't make reference to the time in hip hop when I began that no one knew me, because I wasn't relevant and no one knew me. So you couldn't say, you know, I saw Raheem on the scene if you didn't know I was Raheem. You know, you had to start from the point of reference in which you knew who I was. So that's the point.
Yeah, like I started making records in sixth grade on cassette. And yeah, I get you. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear that all the time.
You know, cats, a lot of cats, you know, predate their timeline, you know, of when they actually became known, because they want to be recognized as being a part of the beginning. But the mistake that they're making is, you know, if no matter how significant or insignificant the contribution, it was a contribution that you made to the culture nonetheless, and you'll be recognized for that. But when you skew the timeline and embellish the timeline to make it appear as though you started earlier than what you actually did, because the pioneers of hip hop is such a small community, and even down to the party goers, like it was such a small community of party goers that, like, we knew the majority of them, like, even by name almost, you know what I mean? So, you know, if you used to frequent, you know, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, or DJ Breakout, DJ Baron and the Funky Four, you know, if you frequented those parties, there's a great chance that we know your name, you know? And if we don't know your name, we definitely know your face. And so if you became someone else, you know, someone notable in hip-hop later on, and you attended our parties, we know that you were there because we recognize your face, and now you're somebody. So now we get to put the face with, you know, the name with the face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah. And you know, that's definitely, you know, people get timelines misconstrued and stuff like that. And but you were there, or, you know what I'm saying? You were there when it really kicked off and started to blow up. You know what I'm saying? Prior to that, was it something that was just like done in the streets, at the parks, and things of that nature? Like how did they really, you know, get in tune with creating hip hop as a genre of music?
Right. I'm sorry, can you repeat that? You cut out for a second.
Yeah, basically, you know what I'm saying, you were there, you know what I'm saying, when all of it really started to jump off, you know what I'm saying, but before it really got real big, when it was something that was just done at parties and on the blocks and things of that nature, you know what I'm saying, can you name anyone specifically that you recall that kicked it all off? Was it Kool Herc or somebody like that, or was it someone before that?
Well, you know, again, the hip hop that we know of today. Now, you know, we have recognized over the years, we've recognized Kool Herc as being, you know, the father of hip hop. Which you know, Kool Herc, Clark Kent, Coke LaRock, Timmy Tim, they are the fathers of hip hop, not Kool Herc by himself, because a lot of the records that Kool Herc played at his parties were due to, you know, Timmy Tim and Clark Kent actually going and finding those records. So, and you know, Herc's style of playing music, his style of DJing, he did not cut records. He was not, you know, he didn't do what Grandmaster Flash did. He just would place the needle on the record and let the record play. And sometimes the record would play from the beginning to the end, where you even hear white noise. That wasn't a frequent occurrence, but it did happen occasionally. And then, but you know, just to give you the distinguishing difference between what Grandmaster Flash did and what Kool Herc did, you know, Kool Herc, he didn't touch his records. He didn't put his hands on the records. He didn't rub the beat. That was Grandmaster Flash who implemented that technique. And for those of you who are listening, who have been fed the revisionists' version of the inception of hip hop, and you know, and the revisionists' crew or clique, who weren't even present, is giving Grand Wizard Theodore credit for inventing scratch. That's not the truth, okay? With all due respect to Grand Wizard Theodore, because he is an absolute technician on the wheels of steel, but he did not create scratching. And the reason why I say that is because Grandmaster Flash's technique, Grandmaster Flash and Grand Wizard Theodore, they were both down with the same crew. But at the time, there was a time when Grand Wizard Theodore was not allowed to touch the equipment, because the equipment was owned by his older brother, Mean Gene. So Mean Gene wouldn't allow Theodore to touch the equipment. And Flash would be at the house practicing, because Flash lived with them. And then whenever Flash would be done practicing, Theodore wasn't even tall enough to reach the turntable. So Flash would sit a crate of records there in front of the turntable so Theodore could reach the turntables so he could practice while Mean Gene wasn't around, because if Mean Gene was around, he wouldn't let Theodore touch the turntables. So here we go. So Flash is credited for being the person to make up the backspin, all right? So now, anyone who is a DJ knows this to be true. When you are queuing up the record, all right, before you let the record go, you know, to play it so that it's audible to the audience, you first have to rub the record. You have to rub it back and forth to know that you're at the cue point that you want to let that record go at. So
yeah.
When you rub the record, all right, that's what scratching is. You're rubbing the record back and forth. So Flash had these speakers, and when he was rubbing the record back and forth, Theodore was right there, privy to the sound that it made. And the difference between Theodore and Flash is that Theodore actually expounded on making scratching his technique. Flash was more more focused on making the backspin his technique, but Theodore got the idea from Flash. Period.
And that's interesting to know too, because you know, we had a hip hop roundtable, Curtis Blow, a bunch of different people, and
mm-hmm.
Theodore was on there. And I'm glad you said that, because I didn't get the chance to even ask him, like, hey, did you, did you learn from Flash or you know, where did you get the idea from? And you cleared that up, so I appreciate that. But so he was basically, he was a younger cat that was coming around watching you guys, and he was influenced by Flash pretty much.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is that, you know, because the revisionist rendition of hip-hop history has been, you know, perpetuated for so long, it's almost like it's the truth now. So, you know, there's probably going to be a contingency of people who, like, lose their minds and be like, yo, he doesn't know what he's talking about, or he's lying, or whatever, making reference to me. But, you know, I keep it extra crispy. So when it comes to the history of this hip-hop culture, like, hip-hop is my life, you know what I mean? So when I see and hear people embellishing and saying, you know, that they were present when they actually weren't, or, you know, that they are responsible for doing things that they actually didn't, and I know it to be true, I have to say it, and I don't care who it is. It's not personal, but that's just the way I feel about the history of the culture that I hope to make a contribution to. And I think that, you know, if everyone was as, you know, if everyone held integrity as important as I did with regards to the history of our culture, we wouldn't be having this problem.
Yeah, definitely. And people, you know, like, just like we saw in Straight Outta Compton, you know what I'm saying, people change history, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, you got this show on Netflix, Get Down. Everybody's loving the show. You know what I'm saying? How authentic is that to what really went down? And do you have any hands-on role in that show?
Well, as far as the the authenticity of the Get Down is concerned, the Get Down is not a biopic. It's not a documentary, obviously. It's a drama, and, you know, it's acting in it. And so you have to understand how Hollywood works. And once you understand how Hollywood works, then you'll understand that there are embellishments. And, you know, so the Get Down Brothers is a fictitious rap group, but set in a real place, the Bronx, and during a real time, 1977-78. And so that's, you know, during not the birth of hip-hop, but the birth of hip-hop as we know it today. Because, you know, again, the birth, you know, according to the majority of the hip-hop community, was 1973. So, you know, the Get Down starts from 77-78. So, like I said, by around 1978, the MC groups began to emerge along with the DJs, thanks to the blackout of New York City in 1977, that helped to provide a multitude of crews who aspired to be DJs and MCs with the ability to go in one of these spots and loot it and come out with some equipment. And, you know, with regards to how the Get Down is, you know, how it's played out, you know, there are things in the Get Down that are very real. You know, they actually reenacted a few scenes that were indicative of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five's reality, you know, that actually happened to us at one of our one of our jams. Like, you know, there's one jam, you're going to see this scene on the Get Down, where somebody walks in the party with two shopping bags full of angel dust. And when they, by the time they leave the party, the whole, both shopping bags full of angel dust are gone. They sold every bag. And so everybody in the party was dusted, and pretty much everybody in the party went to sleep. And so, like, while Flash is on the turntables, practically everybody at the party was asleep because the whole party was dusted. And so they reenacted that scene in the Get Down. So there's, you know, there's some real stuff. They make reference to some real people from that time period. They portrayed a few real people from that time period. They make reference, you know, in conversation to some of the people who were, you know, who were notable during that time period. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of true elements in the Get Down, but the Get Down is not, it's not the story of the birth of hip hop, because, you know, that's our story to tell. And they couldn't essentially tell our story because they don't know it. And the other thing is, no one of us, no one hip hop practitioner from the inception period of hip hop should be able to tell the story of hip hop. We can only tell our individual story, because
it should be collective. If it's still right,
collectively, we can tell the story of hip hop collectively, but individually, I cannot tell the story of hip hop. I can only tell my story, and that's the mistake that the majority of cats are making, because they're trying to tell the story where they should be telling their story. Because the reason why I say that is because we weren't everywhere, and we can only be in one place at one time. So wherever we were not present, we don't know what was going on when we were not present in a certain location. Like, we can't say, I can say this with great certainty, all right? You know, I traveled to other boroughs during the inception period of hip hop, and from what I saw and heard, there was nothing like what was going on in the Bronx during that time. Not like what we were doing. All right, like, there's a contingency of you know, legendary brothers from Queens that are, you know, claiming that, you know, that they are the forefathers of hip hop. And, you know, with regards to that, I salute them all, and they are definitely all my legendary brothers. They had nothing to do with hip hop, because they all played disco music, and hip hop is a b-boy culture, period. Hip hop, the reason why hip hop exists is because of b-boys and b-girls. And if it were not for b-boys and b-girls choosing the songs that were played at Cool Herc jams, feeling a way about those jams to make up dances to them, and then, you know, battle with other b-boys. That's what hip-hop culture was built on. That was the birth of that. And dudes in Queens who were DJing at that time, you would never see a b-boy at, you know, any of the Queens DJs jams, because they didn't play the kind of music that b-boys wanted to dance to. And the b-boys were nomads. They were nomadic. They traveled anywhere where they knew a DJ was going to be playing beats that they would break to, they would go off to, because it was called the go-off. And the part that they would go off to was called the Get Down, right? And so, but all of that, all that term, the go off, you know, all of those terms were indicative of B-boys and the B-boys from the Bronx. And during the inception of hip-hop, there were only B-boys in the Bronx. There were no B-boys in any other borough because, you know, the DJs from their boroughs didn't play that kind of music. They played disco.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you would know. You were there. You know, I would. When you say 78 and you said So and So made his arrival of this, that's when I made my arrival into the world. So
right.
It's good to hear, you know what I'm saying? It's good to hear this, man. We got a caller for you, Raheem. This is actually the homie Exit Only, Jackson, Mississippi. What's up, Exit?
What's going on there with your brother, Fred, Mac J, brother Raheem? Just to hear you talk, man. It's beyond an honor. I've been hip hop since this breakdance. We come from cardboard backspinning to pop locking to rhyming. So it's like the culture is in me. And just to be on the phone conversating you right now is kind of like a landmark in my life. So, I thank you. Y'all helped spearhead what created the generation that followed y'all, because that was our music, hip hop. That's all I know is hip hop. I'm talking about from the classic battles on down. When you really into something, you study something. I'm talking about Wild Styles, Wise Intelligent, man, it's like just love everything about the culture. And just to be talking to one of the founding fathers is just amazing to me, brother. I can't really say nothing else. I appreciate you for being here. And
well,
I thank Brother Prez for catching up with you to get you here.
Well, I appreciate your support. You know, and I appreciate the fact that you love and respect hip hop just as much as we do, and I know that means that, you know, whatever you do, whatever you practice, whatever your brand of hip hop is, I know you do it well.
I have to do something to make the forefathers proud, and I think a lot of people got that lost along the way, to where they just start thinking more about themselves than the actual culture. Y'all laid bricks to lead this to this role of hip hop that we all know and love nowadays. So to not give homage and pay respect to the bricklayers, to me, is like beyond disrespect. So, nah, man, everything that I do is because of what y'all did, and I appreciate y'all for what y'all did. Y'all save lives and don't even know it.
That's what's up. You know, a lot of today's you know, artists and hip hop practitioners, you know, if they know who we are at all, you know, some of them have, you know, respect, and then a lot of them, I guess I would attribute their lack of respect and probably their inability to acknowledge us, one is because, you know, more than likely, if they're a practitioner today, then they wouldn't know about us. You know, their parents would know about us, you know, and so and if their parents didn't teach them about us, then that would essentially be one of the reasons why they don't, you know, they don't really acknowledge or respect us like that. And then the other thing is, you know, just like when, you know, a working class person, you know, let's say you're a working class dude, you got a 9-to-5, you go
you know, to work every day, 5 days a week. You busting your ass every day to go to work, and then you know there's a contingency of younger men that live in your neighborhood that see you go to work every day, and they think that you a sucker because you go to work every day for peanuts, and they stay on the block all day and hustle and make more money than you do in, you know, make more money in a week than you make in a month. So it's hard to tell someone like that that
what
they're doing is wrong.
We came from what they're doing now. Everything they're doing now, we did. You know, I remember being out on the block and looking at the elders that were. But see, the difference is back then we had respect for others and ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Certain people, you just didn't disrespect. You didn't disrespect elders. You literally didn't. You didn't disrespect kids. You didn't disrespect women. Everything then got into a whole different format. So by me being older now, and you are correct, I'm a MC with a day job, and they think they life hard. The things that we go through to still do what we do, and we do it for the love of what we do. It. This is hip hop is literally rhyming has became my level of sanity, which means that I can't get people to listen to me in a general conversation. But if I can play around with words and give them same thoughts to a track, they'll listen to it and possibly love it. So the same people that wouldn't listen to me talking to them will listen to me rhyme. It gives me a whole different form of an ability. So it also gives me a great sense of responsibility, because when you know people listen to you like that, you're supposed to tell them something. So I don't really know what's going on with this generation. I really don't understand it. I feel like I'm a man out of time. I try to. I can't even sit there and lie. I heard what you just said about it was up to the parents to teach them, but I also believe in seeking ye shall find. I got in the, I'm from Mississippi, Raheem. I'm from Jackson, Mississippi, and I go back to the first
spring.
All right, you know, that's where I'm from. I'm right around the corner from Crystal Spray. So it's like when we heard hip-hop here, it was landmarkish. It was something totally, totally different. I remember watching the video to It's Like a Jungle Sometime. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. I remember watching it. I remember the effects that I got from watching it. And even to this day, when I'm browsing through YouTube and I run across the oldies and I sit there and hit it, I feel the exact same feeling. I don't understand these youngsters. I really don't. And I know that y'all was before my time. I was born in 72. You know what I'm saying? When I actually came, like I said, I came from break. But see, that's the thing. I was breakdancing to y'all joints back then, pop locking and everything. The rhyming came later. The rhyming came later, but we actually had a breaking crew, you know what I'm saying, at that particular time. So I don't really understand what these youngsters doing, man. I keep doing what you're doing. Try to educate them because they really need to be educated on a lot of things, more than just the history of the art. But keep doing what you're doing, bro. I mean, please do. It's needed.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother, so much for your support. It means everything. You know, a lot of times the people doing it don't do enough to acknowledge the people who supported them, who made them, you know, the people that they are. And, you know, I never wanted that to be me. So I try to, you know, thank everybody who acknowledges me and, you know, my group's contribution to our culture, because, like, without y'all, there wouldn't be no us. Mm-hmm.
And vice versa. Without y'all, there wouldn't be no us.
Indeed. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what,
we're
sorry, Fred. I was talking too much, man. My bad.
No, no, we're actually gonna go to a break real quick, and then we're gonna come back, chop it up with you, Raheem, for a few more minutes, take another caller. I'm gonna go to a break since you're on the line. I got this new track by you called Home. Man, why don't you intro that for us? Is that cool if we play that one accidentally?
Oh man, most definitely, most definitely. To be honest with you, Home is something old but yet something new. I went back and re-listened to a lot of old things I had on the board, man. Home is kind of like deep to my heart. It's two stories. The first story is based on real occurrences, real events. Everything in this really, really happened. And the second one is a story that was told to me about this girl who actually went through these things that I'm talking about on the second one. And I really want people to understand what's important, you know what I'm saying? And what's important is loving the people that you say you love while they are here. You know what I'm saying? Tell people they love you. I love you, Prayers. You know what I'm saying? I love you, Raheem. I love everybody around that helped contribute to generating and making me. Y'all all are a part of me. People need to start saying these things, and they don't. And you never know when that end is going to come because it'll come quick. So, you know what I'm saying? This is home. This is my contribution.
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back. Raheem, you know what I'm saying? Furious 5 right here on the Murder Master Music Show. This is Exit Only Home. Don't go nowhere.
My dad, J.T. Dixon, and my cousin, Tracy Dixon.
Dream of something sweet.
Rest in eternity. Until I come home. Until I come home.
Right here with you. Exit. Don't make you so discreet.
She never saw the next time she see her son again. Be on the news at 10. Gunshot wound to the head, it was left for dead at a dead end. Found within the dead of night, a baby boy lost his life. No motive for the crime, no evidence left behind to find. It's a shame he died for his time. At 18, he served some time. 7 years of a dying man, earned his parole for good behavior. 1 year suspended, other 2 years they attached the paper. Caught up on a drug caper, addicted to stacking paper. Being broke just wasn't in his nature. His mother knew the things he done, but still didn't change the fact that she loved her son. Seeing him stretched out on his back, body cold, eyes closed. She burst into tears, screaming, Lord, please bring my son back. But ain't no coming back from that when the dirt got the flesh. May God bless his soul and let the earth hold the rest. As he lay the rest within the ground for the lifestyle he chose. Then his farewell to the world as he watched the curtain close. Curtain close.
Of the story is
Yeah, we're back here, Murder Master Music Show, episode 389, Raheem of the Furious 5. That was Omi X and Omi with the song Home. Now, that's real hip-hop, man. That's something you can listen to and actually get something away from it. You know what I'm saying? Shout-out to you, X and Omi, on that dope track right
appreciate
there, man.
It.
Yeah, man. I was digging that, man. You were spitting some stuff there, bro.
I appreciate it, man. I really, really do. But like I say, man, that's what I get from y'all, man. Like I said earlier, when you got an opportunity to say something, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, you need to say something. And that's hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? Hip-hop is to educate. It's to entertain and educate all in the same sense, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I got from y'all from day one, you know what I'm saying? So I just try to keep the tradition going, man, because I know that's what our forefathers wanted us to do. That's why I don't understand this generation.
That's right.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. This is real as it gets right there. One thing I did want to bring up, Raheem, too, is, you know what I'm saying, a certain individual called himself the teacher, told people that they need to get out of hip-hop if they don't respect Afrika Bambaataa. Me personally,
right.
You know, we've talked about this on the show before, I think he's gotten a pass. You know what I mean? I think he's gotten a pass. And I know you're one of the more guys who's vocal and stand up against, you know what I'm saying, what's going on. But from being one of the forefathers of this, and what's going on? Why would you say dude is getting a pass with something so serious as what Brother Poppy and Mr. Ron Savage said about him?
Well, one of the reasons I would attribute, you know, him getting a pass for is the fact that, you know, the men who were victimized by him, although they were probably minors when it happened, today they are men. And so in order for the charges to be brought up against him and stick, I believe, I'm not certain of this, but I believe, you know, it would have had to have been reported when they were minors. Although I also hear that a bill was introduced to be put to a vote and hopefully made a law that they were going to remove the statute of limitations on child molestation. So if they did something like that, I guess then it would be a matter of, you know, taking dude, you know, to trial or whatever, but then there would need to be some evidence that, you know, that this actually took place. It couldn't be like their word against his. So many years after the fact, I think that would be very difficult to prove that, you know, a man who's in his 40s or, you know, early 50s today, that, you know, he was molested by this man when he was 15, 16 years old. That would be very difficult to prove today. So I think that he's not getting a pass. I think that the powers that be, you know, understand when, you know, they understand the ramifications of, you know, what would need to be done in order to, you know, bring justice to the victims. So that would be the reason I would attribute him, you know, nothing actually happening besides his credibility and his name, you know, getting dragged through the social media mud. But other than that, you know, he didn't really experience any real flack, you know, with the exception of maybe, not being the leader of the Zulu Nation anymore, you know, at large. Maybe he still leads a contingency of them, but I don't believe that, like, the international Zulus or whatever care to be led by him anymore. So, KRS-One's statement regarding the victims was absolutely insensitive, and you know, somebody on the outside looking in, you know, a fly on the wall listening to that conversation and hearing KRS-One's you know, response, one might even go out on a limb and you know, and say, well, damn, well, did he get touched? You know what I mean? Like, did you know, was he touched? Because that's the only way I could see anyone actually, you know, taking up for him, you know,
right.
and not siding with the victims. And then, you know, the bigger thing is, like, KRS-One had a son. Like, I have sons. If someone you know, did anything close to those despicable acts, any of my sons, like, I'd be in prison. They'd be dead. Like, seriously, like, dead.
Right.
Not hurt, not hospitalized, dead. That's a vile and you know, disgusting act to sodomize, you know, a young man or anyone who's not, you know, at the age of consent. Like, when you use trickery, or when you use, you know, manipulation of any kind, or, you know, that's not cool, you know. And these people looked at this person with, you know, with great respect, and you know, and looked at him like they wanted him to you know, be their usher into the hip-hop culture, not, you know, not some pornographic, you know, homosexual subculture that he was, you know, engaged in. Like, that, I mean, you know, I don't have anything against homosexuals. If that's what you do, that's what you do. That's not what I do. And you know, I try not to be judgmental, because, you know, we're all human beings at the end of the day. But I'm sorry, there's a time and place for everything. I think that should be, you know, behind closed doors and between two consenting adults. You know what I mean? And kids shouldn't be involved in that. And I don't feel like it should be promoted on television or on radio during the hours where kids could possibly be privy to, you know,
targeted kids.
Yeah, that's
you know, they go after, well, now, you know, they go after cartoons, comic book characters,
yeah,
toys,
exactly.
I mean, the whole nine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like they're purposely pushing an agenda to the youth.
They are. Yes, they are. They are purposely pushing that agenda. And, you know, I mean, again, I think that, first of all, you know, sex is a natural thing. You know what I mean? Sex is, you know, it's human nature. So, you know, if you're a human being, you know, at some point in time, you know, you feel sexual urges. Cool, nothing wrong with that. Even if you have sexual urges, you know, towards the same sex as you, if that's how you feel, that's how you feel. Cool, no problem. But what I think is a problem is the promotion, the promoting of it. Like,
yeah.
You know, for it to be promoted. Like I don't think, you know, sex of any kind should be promoted, because, you know, it's an intimate thing and it's private. It should be private between, you know, the people engaged in it. And I don't think that everybody needs to know, you know, what your sexual preference is. Like, that's not, you know, or maybe adults can know, but kids, I don't think kids need to know that. Like, that, you know.
I agree 100%. You know, it's in school books. It's everywhere right now. And like you said, if it's consenting adults, that's cool. That's their business. You know what I'm saying? But when you go after the kids, that's a whole different ball game. And especially when pedophilia and sex slave rings are at an all-time high. You know what I'm saying? Kids are going missing every single day. You don't know where the hell they are. And you know what I'm saying? A lot of this shit, you know, let's be real. There's gay pedophile sex rings out there. You know what I'm saying? And kids, when they come up missing, you know, and in the church too. Let's not forget the church. It's real, real bad in the church, the Boy Scouts, Hollywood, the entertainment industry, like we were saying. It's almost like these kids are being targeted, and it's a damn shame, man. It really is. But
yep.
I'm saying one thing I want to ask you, I'm saying on a lighter note, I want to ask you about what's going to happen as far as a Raheem solo album. Is that in the works, Raheem?
Well, I am working on some solo music, but day to day, something, you know, stuff is coming at me to like not make me put it on a back burner, but just make me stop for a second and pay attention to something else. There are things that are happening in my life right now that make me deviate from that path and you know, working on a solo project. Like, for example, you know, I've been on the phone the last few days with Scorpio from the Furious Five, and so we are actually going to be touring this year. And Scorpio and I were on the phone with LL Cool J a little earlier, and big ups to LL. We got some stuff brewing, man. So, you know, it's looking
like, oh, that's dope as fuck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, y'all, so, I mean, I know you probably can't indulge too much, but I mean, are you guys working on a song, album? I mean, can you give us a little piece of that?
Well, I'm not certain. You know, I'm not certain that I can't say that we won't be doing any recording as a group anymore. I won't say that. That's not what we were discussing. We were mainly discussing doing shows and the thing that we were discussing with LL. I'm really not at liberty yet to divulge publicly until it's a little bit more, you know, confirmed and where it's actually underway. When it's actually underway, then I can definitely let the cat out the bag. But, you know, some real good things happening. And as long as everybody, you know, does what they say that they're going to do, then all of the things that that have been making me deviate from doing a solo project will probably be worth me deviating for that period of time. But I'm going to go back to it, and I may even, you know, release a joint or two while I'm doing the Furious Five thing. But I'm not abandoning my solo endeavor at all, because it's necessary.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Because I, you know, like Ice-T's last album. Well, he's got The Body Count out now, but it was like 06. Ghetto Boys was 05. And I'm thinking, man, I can't wait to hear more albums from these guys. You know what I'm saying? You're
right.
Definitely one of them,
right.
Man. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? But as far as the touring goes, you and the Furious Five, you guys are getting ready to go on the road. Is Grandmaster Flash going to be involved at all?
Well, we would absolutely love for Grandmaster Flash to be involved. And he's really booked with doing DJ gigs. So we kind of have to work around his schedule. And, you know, at the moment, we don't have any dates that we know that Grandmaster will be joining us due to his busy schedule. But, you know, we believe that once his schedule frees up, that he will join us. We talk about it with him, and you know, hopefully at some point in time,
yeah.
You know, we'll make that happen.
Oh yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm looking forward to it. A hell of an interview. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Again, man, it's always an honor to have you on the show, Raheem. You know, say real humble cat, down to earth. Really appreciate you. Before you go, I do have one more caller. He's been waiting to ask you a question. He's from France. It's the homie Sinister.
Okay.
If you can't understand him, I can actually translate because I have the question here. Sin, can we hear you today?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm there. Hi, Scott. Hi, Raheem.
Hey.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, mon frère.
I'm tell us about your group, Frankie 4 Plus 1, and your classic song, Let the Boys, well known for true hip hop listeners. Tell us about the song.
Did you get that, Raheem? He said the group, the Funky Four. You want to know about the song that's the joint.
Oh, what does he want to know specifically about the Funky Four and that's the joint?
What do you want to know specifically, Sin? You just want to know anything particular or what?
It was just before the Furious Five. It was more funk style, and it was a classic song for hip hop listeners. After you know that the Voice was a classic for hip hop after all that.
I think you want to know about the style of the project and the direction you were going in at the time, if I'm not mistaken.
The style and the direction of project, which project? I'm sorry?
Funky 4 Plus 1.
I wasn't a member of the Funky 4 Plus 1. I was a member of the... I was a member of the original Funky Four, and when I was a member of the original Funky Four, we did not record any records.
You didn't record any records at that time? Oh, okay. So this was after you. This is hey, we stumped Sin. Sin is like usual. No, Sin is the hip-hop encyclopedia. This guy comes up with these great questions. I'm going to keep this on tape. I need to clip this and save it. We got you, Sin. Hey, no, thanks for calling in, brother. I appreciate you, man. Raheem, once again, thank you. But before we go, if anybody wants to get at you for features or book you guys for shows, what's the best way they can reach you, Raheem?
You can get at me on Facebook, Raheem Rockstar. Right, that's my tag on Facebook, and that's that. You know, you can find the Raheem page, or if you you can get at me on IG, Raheem Raheem _ the letter F like Frank, and the number 5.
Hell yeah! Once again, man, thank you. Take care of yourself, and you know, we got our 5th year anniversary coming up in May, and hopefully we can have you call into our show, man. I'll get at you and let you know, see if you're available. Be honored.
Absolutely, my brother. Let me know.
Thank you, man. You take care of yourself.
All right. Y'all too. Peace.
Peace. That was the homie Raheem, folks. You know what I'm saying? Furious Five. Exit Only, man. You got to chop it up with him. What was it like talking to somebody that you grew up listening to? Like you were talking about back in the days of breakdancing and things of that nature. What was it like to actually talk to one of the godfathers of this hip-hop shit?
Brother, speechless. That's all I can really sit there and say. This is, that's something that I never imagined, you know what I'm saying? I think hip-hop, well, everybody know that it started in New York, and New York used to be like the mecca for everybody who was fascinated by hip-hop. Everybody wanted to go and see New York. To be able to talk to one of the forefathers is like, beyond words. That's really all I can say, man, beyond words, because I know the groundwork that they laid. I know what happened after them, and I know what wouldn't have happened before them. Like you said, I remember back when we used to break dance to their music before rap actually morphed into the lyrical content of what it did. Man, it was beyond words. Appreciate your prayers for the opportunity. That's all I can sit there and say. This is something that will go down as one of the highlights of my life and my career.
I tell you what, man, it was good to be able to have you on. I'm glad you called in because you're one of the guys who really, really, truly appreciates hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? You live it. I mean, hip-hop is you. It comes out in your music, and I thought that was great for you to be able to chop it up with him. And for him to be able to kind of give you feedback on the music, too, because you just sent me, people don't know, man, you just sent me out of the blue that song about 30 minutes before we even went live. You know what I'm saying? You had no idea I was going to cue that song up. That's why I asked you if it was okay if I played it, because I wanted to make sure. I thought you was just sending me to keep it out. But you know me, man. I'm going to have that shit ready to go. You know,
man,
and I heard that song hit me in the chest, man. I was like, I got it.
Anything that comes through y'all, man, that's family. So, man, it's all good. Y'all do it, y'all. Please. It's great. You know what I'm saying? I know that you're a true fan of the music, and you appreciate what I do. So, man, I just wanted you to hear it because I felt like that was one that you could actually feel and relate to. I was skeptical about putting it up because I didn't know how many people would actually feel it and be able to relate to it. So, you know, you just gave it a stamp of approval tonight, and I appreciate that for you. Real talk.
Hell yeah. That's a real good record. You know what I'm saying? Pittsburgh Pat, he was online. He was telling me he was thinking about playing it too because, you know what I'm saying, it just hits you in the chest. I'll tell you what, man, what a way to get out of here. For those who didn't hear the record earlier, this is Exit Only, Home. You know what I'm saying? Again, I want to thank the homie Raheem of the Furious Five, real humble, down-to-earth cat. We hope to have him on the show many more times in the future. We learned a lot tonight. You know, we learned that, you know, the inventor of the scratch, as we knew it, Grand Wizard Theodore, is not the inventor of the scratch. You know what I'm saying? And this is coming from somebody who was there. So it was huge to learn that. You know what I'm saying? But we also we learned a lot about the birth of hip-hop, you know, and then we also got to talk about numerous other things. I'm glad these guys are going on tour. Hopefully, you know what I'm saying, you can catch a leg of that tour and just check these guys out. But with that being said, tomorrow make sure to turn in to Underground Saturday night, 9 p.m. Central, Mac J. Velvet Rose, episode 45. You know what I'm saying? 175 episode of Church Reality on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Myself, Elaine, and Pittsburgh Patrick. And then Monday, the debut episode of Pittsburgh Patrick's show, the Hip Hop Roundtable. That's going to be dope. And then I don't know what we're doing Tuesday and Wednesday, but Thursday, you guys are going to want to tune back into the Murder Master Music Show because we're going to have the 30th anniversary edition of the South Park Coalition Roundtable. You know what I'm saying? Gangsta Nip, Murder One, Point Blank, K Reno, of course, Klondike Cat, and many others. You'll hopefully be calling in on that show. That'll be on, Thursday the 6th, 9 p.m. Central. That said, here's Exit Only, Home. Enjoy this wonderful track. We're out of here.
Father Bruce Rhodes, my dad JT Dick, and my cousin Tracy Dick. R.I.P. Rest in eternity. Until I come home. Right here with you. Exit.
Make you so discreet.
She never thought the next time she'd see her son again be on the news. Gunshot wound to the head, it was left for dead at a dead end. Bound within the dead of night, a baby boy lost his life. No motive for the crime, no evidence left behind to find. It's a shame he died before his time. At 18, he served some time. 7 years of a dying man, earned his parole for good behavior. 1 year suspended, other 2 years they attached the paper. Caught up on a drug caper, addicted to stacking paper. Being broke just wasn't in his nature. His mother knew the things he done, but still didn't change the fact that she loved her son. Seeing him stretched out on his back, body cold, eyes closed. She burst into tears, praying, Lord, please bring my son back. But ain't no coming back from that when the dirt got the flesh. May God bless his soul and let the earth hold the rest. As he lay to rest within the ground for the lifestyle he chose. Then his farewell to the world as he watched the curtain close. Curtain close. They should have told her she was beautiful. Regardless of her size, couldn't see past her figure. In the mirror, strike a pose. She wanted to be like the photos she seen. Covers of magazines. Object of lust, fulfilling fantasies of man's dreams. Could make the bed spring, sing when her hips swing. Potential porno queen, became a sex fiend. Molested by her brother up until 14. A little overweight, a little out of shape. That about herself she hates. She made a few mistakes. You picked a flower before it's time, it would surely die. So alone in that empty room, she was sitting. You know no name, she blamed herself, so she felt shame. No love there, ain't nothing else left but except the pain. Feeling she kept, though in death, was left a hollow shell. Nothing there to gain, thoughts of killing herself.
Is a game, nigga simple and plain. I'm calling your bluff, remember the name. Killer flow through the vein, double up on the brain. My mind would be trouble, it be hard to maintain. Never switching the sides, I'm bringing the pain. Hull up in your lane, a little deranged. And I'm throwed off, so watch. Take a bitch, hostage, tie the hoe, bind.
bondage. Duct tape, I got this. Feel me, niggas? Watch this. Mind frame notorious. TME, ridiculous. All you niggas, hitless. Blood flow amazing. Abrasion when I'm hazing. And I'm placing. And I'm casing. And I'm sizing you up. Yeah. Heartbeat like racing. Like Haitians. Be chasing. No patience. Make patience. Nigga, what the fuck up? Yeah. Real nigga, better ask him. Work pack back, I'ma tax him. Nigga, grab nuts, relax. Put him in a box, pack him. And I'ma show you how to act, nigga, real, real. Peep game with the flame, got the kill bill. Pass that to my nigga, X real bill. Chopped up, nigga, murdered that kill, kill.
I ain't Percy Miller, but I ain't got no limit. Mine, no. I ain't got no feeling. I'm purging, nigga. I'm hearing voices, collecting names, making lists. I'm a mental patient, don't give me bitch, but I got kids. I ain't Percy Miller, but I ain't got no limit. Mine, no. I ain't got no feeling. I'm purging, nigga. I'm hearing voices, collecting names, making lists. I'm a mental patient, don't give me bitch, but I got kids.
I'm an unstoppable showstopper with broken English that flow proper. I propel the wind like a helicopter. That's a chopper that packs a whopper. A hip hopper that hate coppers. Predict the storm like a weather doctor. Red hair like the movie shotters. I come and call it like Tommy Knock. With a big popper, so who shot you? Might lose a leg and just walk awkward. It gets ugly like Bubba sparked it. Zip lock it and mark the target. Duck head, shoot at your doctor. Bouncing well, been buck head. Over my bed, a buck head. Burn the law like Judge Dredd. Outlaw like what Pac said. Mississippi version, I'm never scared. About the bread like sandwich bread. Number two pencil, I bring the lead. Other level at that other level. My state flag, say I've been a rebel. Bring the gravel, I bring the shovel. Watch it unravel like a wooden sweater. Honey slam, bam, bam. Till your bed rocks to fruity pebbles. No sleeves when I bear arms. Verbal threat to steal weapons. Keep feet, better get to stepping. Two and one like Smith and Wesson. Teach a lesson to them adolescents. Been the best, don't need your blessing.
I ain't Percy Miller, but I ain't got no limit. Mine, no. I ain't got no feeling. I'm purging, nigga. I'm hearing voices, collecting names, making lists. I'm a mental patient, don't give me bitch, but I got kids. I ain't Percy Miller, but I ain't got no limit. Mine, no. I ain't got no feeling. I'm purging, nigga. I'm hearing voices, collecting names, making lists. I'm a mental patient, don't give me bitch, but I got kids.
Repeat, and you gon' see why niggas really ain't that close to me. Fast forward, the
16. Gotta mention in the 16. And I'm put together 16. I'd rather another nigga lean than nigga my mother scream again. Seen her soul bleed again. That was my best friend. Ain't no nigga gon' take what she need again. And when it comes to that work and eating, homie, I'm used to niggas putting the people on me. Give me the straps and I feed the fly. And now we on rack with niggas high. So to the new niggas, pay your dues. And if we don't mention you, then you cool. Legends, niggas, when you hear the name, associated with
the game. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep. Boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep. Boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep. Man, you niggas have to eat. I'm just something for them cheeks. 7 days a fucking week. You gon' see me in the street. Boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep. Boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep. Boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep. Man, you niggas have to eat. I'm just something for them cheeks. 7 days a fucking week. You gon' see me in the street. Boy, I'm putting in work.
I don't give two fucks by words that I hate in my utter. And with that being said, motherfucker, another motherfucking motherfucker who likes to scream to his brother when he wants something. Put it work, put that work out, jump something. Got a problem, use the bitch, smoke something. Tell Chief when they ask you, don't choke up. Something acting like a bird, so check something. I'm from the end of my crook, get let out of never saw a crook like I take it to the other level. Dug myself up out the mud, cause I was born in the struggle, so I came with my own show. Hot boy like a devil, let it go on the scene, but wrapped in a scarf, wearing two sweaters. With Gucci's on, young sucker, did it care, like you know. This is lab work, but when it works, make it work. Two states work together, have to get together. And the grind don't stop, never. Down for whatever. Old Mississippi rebel. And nobody I know can do it better. In more words, y'all gonna hear me forever. Put in work like mechanic on the shade trees. Through the trees, I can see these niggas shady. Talk shit, that shit don't faze me. Got that work, won't work, bitch, pay me. Find the fee, cause personally, it don't matter if you play me. I am legend, underground OG, veteran. And seen too much, let a mark come play me. Play check on your bitches with the quickest. Y'all still on the corner in the corner, get like me.
Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep, boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep, boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep, man, you niggas have to eat. I'm just something for them peaks, 7 days a fucking week. You gon' see me in the street, boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep, boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep, boy, I'm putting in work. Man, I'm really tryna eat, man, you niggas have to sleep, man, you niggas have to eat. I'm just something for them peaks, 7 days a fucking week. You gon' see me in the street, boy, I'm putting in work.